For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
He's looking downfield. Nothing there. Spins away. Throws on the move. It is caught! Roma Dunze connects with his fellow rookie.
We're back with more of the Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
It's Spiegs and Anthony Herron on your Score Afternoon Show. Hope everyone is awesome on yet another lovely late summer Chicago day. Just outrageous, man. I rode a divvy bike to work with a t-shirt on, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to do it. At some point, it's going to have that just little bit of crispness in the air where you're like, I guess I should throw on a sweatshirt or a zippy. But still today, t-shirt on the divvy, let's go.
I cut my suburban grass yesterday in the midst of the indecision by the weather gods, whether they were going to rain or not. So I thought, oh, they're not going to rain. Let me cut my suburban grass. And then it started raining while I was cutting my suburban grass. So I stopped cutting my suburban grass for a few moments. And it stopped raining, so I started to cut my grass again, and then the rain came back. So I just went ahead and I plowed ahead.
You know,
I just cut my suburban grass in the midst of the rain shower.
That's my wife's favorite smell in the world, that fresh-cut grass.
Okay.
It has to do with, like, a nap she used to take at her grandparents' house with the window open as, like, Grandpa mowed the lawn, you know?
Uh-huh.
And we have looked everywhere for candles that have that scent of fresh-cut grass, and there's some that have it. But you can't fake it.
It's probably a different kind of grass.
It could be. Right. Could be. No, I offer her that smell all the time.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it's like chemically you cannot get to what you're talking about. There's something about the actual life that you're killing as you cut that grass.
It's the death of nature.
It's the actual.
That's what it should be called.
Seriously.
It should be called the death of nature.
That's what you're doing. It's the actual organic death that you're creating when you chop that grass off.
It's quite a smell.
At the knees.
It is quite a smell.
You can't fake it, man.
Right, yeah. I would imagine my new neighbors just had to be looking at me out the window like, why is this gentleman cutting the grass?
In the rain. Oh, man.
I was very determined, though, because I knew I was going to be here with you today, here with you tomorrow. I was like, I'm not going to have time to cut grass. I'm in the city with Spiegs the next two days.
Good for you.
I got to cut the grass on a Sunday.
That's right. Yeah, get that done. That's the way you're supposed to do it now that you're a bourbonite. This is Caleb talking about that deep ball to Odunze and how they have worked on it in practice.
It's something that I've worked on in practice. I mean, watching Aaron Rodgers just, and I know he was a Green Bay guy, sorry guys, but watching Aaron Rodgers in all his times, you know, these past 19, 20 years, I mean, he can do unbelievable things, right, left, running straight, running left, running all these other things. And so just practicing it over time, perfecting it. Obviously, you know, there's going to be times where, you know, I don't put exactly where I want to. But, you know, today it worked out. Rome ran a great route or Rome had a good exit plan from his route and, you know, got upfield and made a marvelous catch, a wonderful catch. And you know, I tried to just give him a shot.
Man, the exit plan from his route, you know? So that's that scramble drill stuff that he's talking about. They knew exactly what they were doing together.
Right. And just, by the way, we are getting the text line chiming in. Apparently IKEA has the grass candles. Yep, something to look forward to there.
I don't know.
The Gap used to sell them. Does the Gap still exist? They still got the Gap, right?
I think they do.
Okay.
But still, I'll have to check them out. If IKEA sells it,
it's got to be the right scent.
I haven't smelled one yet that really gets it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like certain chemicals.
It's like the new car smell. It's not really the new car smell.
It's close.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's an approximation.
But I appreciate the textures.
Chemically induced.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But that being on the same page, some of it is practiced. There's no doubt about that. You want to be in these situations in practice as frequently as possible so that they do feel like muscle memory when you get into game action. But beyond that, one of the biggest differences, I would say, between Caleb and, you know, we were just talking about Justin and Mitch and the previous QBs, and there are things physically that Caleb does with the football or with his legs that could certainly argue Justin Fields is even more physically capable of some of these things. But what's obvious, even from Caleb's college film, and now we're starting to see this in an NFL preseason, he's an intuitive playmaker. And that's what Justin has never become. Now, Justin is a reps guy, and through repetition, he can kind of figure some things out when he's been there and done that a little bit more. Caleb is intuitive in his ability to make plays in the moment. I mean, you know, now Mahomes and Kelsey have done everything on the field together a million times, but you got Mahomes throwing the ball behind his back to Travis Kelsey
just
on
this,
the field.
Just this past weekend, if anybody missed that, and just them knowing where each other's going to be.
I mean, it's astronomical how difficult something like that would be, that most people, most professional athletes, the elite would never imagine doing something like that in a game, and let alone think their teammate would be in a position to actually handle it. But and they do.
This is the aspect that I want to talk with you about and with the listeners about, is the relationship between Caleb and Rome, drafted together and now working together. And it's good that already they have this language about, oh yeah, it's the escape route on the scramble drill and stuff like that. Did you see, and listeners out there, and I'm looking at you, Robbie Triano and Alex Kuhn, did you guys see, after they showed the replay of that crazy throw when Caleb scrambles left and drops it in the bucket, you know, off the 1 foot, and they cut back to the huddle, and it's actually a close-up of Rome, and then Caleb enters the frame there, and it's, and Rome looks to his right, and he sees it's Caleb, and he's like, oh yeah, and his face lights up like, we did that, didn't we do that? And like, they give a little helmet tap to each other, and Caleb's smiling, and it's like, oh yeah, we did that. Like, there is a delightful little bromance going on between those dudes, and I feel like the town is smitten, and I'm thinking about their relationship hopefully developing into the kind of thing Anthony's talking
about. Do you think
there's
a TV show between those two? Because we can have, that's Montez.
Yeah, that's Montez's first.
And then I feel like we got to name this one, but I feel like this one is going to have the mass appeal for that. That's Montez's for the cult audience.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
no, I don't know. That's Montez is pretty special, man. Until, because remember, Granny teaches you some heavy lessons on That's Montez. She really changes the complexion of the show. But like, I found myself thinking about Caleb and Rome. You remember this moment on draft night when Rome Odunze was doing his initial Zoom with the Chicago media, and there happened to be a camera shooting from the back as Rome was in there in like the Zoom room at the draft in Detroit. And Caleb had just found out that Rome got drafted and that they're going to be teammates.
Right.
So
yeah.
Caleb like opens the door on the Zoom room and busts up Rome's Zoom and talks to him. This is what it sounded like.
Rome Odunze!
Let's do it, baby.
Turn it up, man.
Yeah. Hey. Hey, give me that.
LeBron D.
Wade.
To the crib.
I'm ready, baby.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's have fun doing it.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to
flew us here.
Tomorrow morning. All right, brother. I'll see you later.
That's the first moment that they spend together as teammates.
As teammates, yeah.
Right? That's, they knew each other, and maybe they dreamed of going 1-9, and it happened, and that's Caleb going, Rome Odunze! And they do this like weird little handshake thing, and they're like, LeBron and D-Wade, let's take it to the crib. And then you hear Caleb at the end there saying, let's do it. Let's have fun doing it. Mm. Hold each other accountable. Because that kid already talks like that. Right? But it's like, so right then I remember thinking, oh, they're going to have a thing. And then you see that little smile in the huddle. Like, you dream of that developing. You've seen teammates where those kind of things developed, haven't you?
And the fun part is that they're both from a personality perspective. And, you know, Rome is not being immediately asked to carry what Caleb is immediately being asked to carry, but he is a top 10 pick. There are certainly big expectations that come with that, but each of them just seem so comfortable. And it's comfort without satisfaction. It's comfort without feeling like you've done everything you need to do. You can tell that both of them are putting the requisite work in, and that's a part of what comes with being in a locker room that's been through a lot already. I think that's one of the cool things about what Ryan Poles has begun to build here, is that it's a team that's taken some lumps through the last couple of seasons, last few seasons, really, and a number of the guys have been around that. You've added some newness into the mix. There's some youth who's sort of unscarred by the recent seasons, but then there's also the vets who've handled it in the way that Ryan Poles feels like they should have been handling things up to this point, who are now getting to see the other side of it. Now they're going to come out of this thing and actually get to be a good football team together. And they've been building toward this. And so Caleb and Rome are surrounded by that. They're surrounded by the building that's been taking place through struggle, through strife. And so now you have an entire locker room that's rooting for these two guys to be a huge part of what they can become.
Huh. It's, I think they are, right?
Yeah.
This is Caleb after the game talking about Odunze and how they're going to work together and what they need to do to work together.
We're going to be explosive. We're two rooks, but we're trying to catch up to the old guys as fast as we can. To make sure that we're right there on par with them, to be able to, be efficient, function, go out there and be explosive, be on the same page, and win games. That's ultimately what we're here to do. And having a guy like that was drafted with me, we're only going to keep growing and keep building this connection.
All right, so what can I learn from this? Anthony, should I consider betting the over on the Rome Odunze yardage prop for the year? If they've got a developing thing happening together, we got to catch up to the old guys, right? If I mean, it's hard because Keenan is great and DJ is great, and there's only enough balls to go around. But in this developing relationship where the trust is a little more in place maybe for Caleb and Rome right here at the beginning as it is, I have seen it anywhere from 660 yards to 725.5 receiving yards. That's a big number for a rookie wideout with two terrific veterans on the roster.
Yeah, and a really good tight end also. And frankly, a Gerald Everett is a guy also. Like there's a lot of targets to throw the football to. And frankly, I don't think the Bears are going to throw the football with the volume that a lot of people are hoping for with all these different weapons either. I would, if anything, I wonder is there a touchdown over under for Rome?
Probably.
I would say
that's why the Lord invented Robbie Triano right. For the Shane Waldron fact sheet and to look up the Rome Odunze touchdown over under for the season.
I was writing the script actually for this buddy comedy that we're doing. So. Yeah. Let me pause from that and I'll get this.
Thank you.
I feel like if the touchdown prop is at a reasonable number, I think that would have a better, assuming health, of course, I think that's got a better shot at hitting than a total yardage. That's going to be
total
hard
yards
to come
is
by.
Be sketchy.
That's going to be hard to come by.
Okay. It's
currently 4.5.
4.5 is the touchdown prop for Rome Odunze?
Yes.
Hammer that over.
I mean, you're screaming about it on 670 The Score. Now it's about to go up, so you better hurry up and bet it.
Hammer that over. Yes.
Yeah, I feel better about that than I do the yardage.
That's a good call by you.
Mm-hmm.
Because he'll look for him and he will trust him. And he's got the 50-50 ball skills.
Yep.
He's
this amount. The Guwagi.
Can you believe I just didn't use a chance to say Guwagi? God, this Parkinslessness, man. It's just.
Is it weighing on you already?
I'm scuffling. You know what I mean?
We just put like a cutout in the corner just to have his presence be felt.
Okay.
No, I'm good. So,
yeah, me too.
You're not good, Robbie. You spent 16 of 24 hours with the man for the radiothon, and you would have done the other 8. Stop pretending.
Rome is this amalgam of Keenan Allen.
The two people that love each other more than you and Danny Parkins are Rome Odunze and Caleb Williams. Okay?
I got a half hug from Danny at the end, too. I thought I was going to get a full hug, only got a half. So that's how I remember Danny.
Alex, did you see the way that Robbie's face lit up when Danny came into the frame? He's like, oh, we did that. We did that. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, he half-assed that.
It's unfortunate. I'm sorry, that was a disappointing moment.
Yeah, he did. He was he was also in tears, so maybe he was a little uncomfortable, but it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. Uncomfortable, it was an emotional moment.
Yeah. I wish I'd have seen it. I don't know. It was probably great.
Yeah.
I'll tell my kids about that half hug.
You should. And
DJ Moore is the way that sentence was going to end.
Oh, okay. I didn't remember there was a sentence.
Yeah, right. He was an amalgam of Keenan Allen and DJ Moore.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know there was a sentence even going on.
Right.
I lost track of everything. Yeah. I want to ask you about Rome Odunze's karaoke efforts because you are a master at karaoke, right?
Close enough.
Karaoke?
I'm more of a karaoke guy myself.
Karaoke.
Yes.
All right. Yes. I bow to you on all things karaoke.
I won't stop you.
Right, say it again. Say it right.
Karaoke.
Karaoke. God, mm-hmm. It just flows. It flows.
It's a soft roll of the R.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
And then there's no space between the ah and the okay.
Nor should there be.
Okay. Karaoke?
Karaoke. All
right,
Ant, look at that. Look how quick that was.
Ant, are you one of those people with a karaoke set up at your house? You have one?
Not yet.
Okay.
But we're remodeling the basement. Don't threaten me with a good time, Alex Cooper.
Giving you some ideas.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Man.
This is Roma Dunze's attempt at karaoke that happened on last week's episode of Hard Knocks.
So far, Odunze hasn't missed a beat. But his perfect record is about to face a real test in front of a tough crowd.
Romo Dunze, University of Washington. Go Dawgs. Sign a bonus before taxes, $13 million.
All right, here we go.
Nappy Boy Radio. Yeah, yeah. Hey, she want that lovey-dovey, that kiss-kiss. In her mind, she fantasize about getting with me. They hating on me, they want to diss. Cause she mine is so fine, thick as can be. I'm a country boy from Tappahannock. VA is where I reside. So shawty, understand it. See this bandana hanging. That means I'm like a bandit. Like a bandit. Bandit boy. Did you finish, girl? That Lamborghini. By the seats. You never see me. So get it, shawty. We popping like Pippin and my dogs. So I don't want you want.
All right, so what are your issues? I thought it was a passionate attempt. I thought the execution was, you know, above a six, maybe even I can't give it above a seven, but I give it above a six for the passion and the phrasing. But what are your issues, sir?
So he was awful, which I don't mind at all. Not everyone is fit for karaoke. But that being said, what that moment sort of displays to me is, and frankly, you can look at both of them within the context of, you know, Caleb's karaoke attempt, Rome's karaoke performance. I call Caleb's an attempt because he cut off after like three words. But for Rome, he was so bad and so obviously bad. But you could tell the locker room was still with him. The team in the meeting room was almost rooting for him and just enjoying the experience of Rome displaying a vulnerability to them and wanting to emphatically perform, put the type of energy and effort into it that they likely see from him in every aspect of what else he does. So the fact that they were with him with as bad as he was, like he was terrible. He would have gotten booed off the stage at any stage you could go to, any public venue. If he took that to Nashville, it was somewhere on Broadway in Nashville, sure. Even just random passersby would have booed him off the stage. But that's a team that digs Rome Odunze. That's what I took from that moment. Rome on the mic sounding atrocious and the guys loving it because they love him. That's what that displayed to me.
All right, I dig that. And you are a man who has been in those locker rooms. Have you ever had to do karaoke or karaoke, however you want to do it, for a team as a rookie? Were you subjected?
Had to would be an overstatement. I've certainly done it a bunch in front of teammates.
You volunteered.
Oh yeah.
You volunteered.
I mean, hey, had to.
You guys want to haze me? I'd like to be hazed, please. I'd like to volunteer for the hazing.
I got a karaoke machine.
I brought my own ice block.
A karaoke machine.
I brought my own block of ice. You mind if I take off my pants and just sit on it for a while? All right, thank you.
So we definitely in 01. We had to sing our school fight song. You know, we carried some pads. It was kind of on the back end of things as far as the whole hazing. Guys weren't getting their heads shaved and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
But we had to do some of that.
You guys want to tie me to the goalpost? Anybody want to tie me?
I had zero interest in that. But okay.
Karaoke.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was down for that.
So, but is it a locker room? Like, isn't a team usually behind somebody? Or are you saying no?
Some more than, I mean, like, if Chase Claypool sounded awful, do you think everybody would have, like, burst into singing along with him? No, it's different. It depends on the guy.
Of course it does.
Right. So, I mean, you know, I think every situation, every circumstance, every player, every season is a little bit different. And there's so much steam, so much coverage, so much juice behind the Bears right now. Huh. And that combination of kind of the older veteran guys who have taken their lumps. And honestly, that's a part of the voices we were hearing about, like, at the end of the season, people asking about Justin, because all those guys went through stuff with Justin too. And there was an eagerness like, we're about to do something big here. Maybe he should see this through with us. They know they're coming out of the fog right now. And so they're enjoying it. And that, to me, is an aspect of this that I'm glad the city is in tune with also, where right now, because there's not a lot of hope in the baseball scene in Chicago right now, as you know.
What are you talking about?
So the city is enjoying this, and the Bears are enjoying where they're headed. They're not there yet, but it does seem to me that even both the rookies, it's Caleb coming in on a pedestal and then being willing to give him a hard time when he flubs his karaoke.
I want to hear that, because we'll take a break and we'll come back, because I think what we're developing here is another show for our network that we're putting together, where it's Anthony Herron, karaoke psychologist. Like, you are doing psychological profiles based on karaoke and teammate reactions, and we're really getting somewhere. We'll continue on the Scores Afternoon Show. It's Spiegs and Anthony Herron. We've got Eberflus and Poles. Are they disagreeing with each other? We'll get to that, and I want to hear your thoughts on Caleb karaoke. Okay, top of the hour, Cubs conversation, because this whole Cubs season has felt like one big taunting penalty. We'll do that at top of the hour. Steve Palazzolo next hour, and Mark Grody with a Bears report at 5, including everything that went down at practice today and folks talking about it. That's all coming up on 670 The Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I love the excitement. You can feel it in the building. I mean, in our locker room at practice, you feel that. And it's a good excitement. And everybody has, you know, added hope that we can take this big jump this year.
We're back with more of the Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Ryan Poles, feeling the excitement, and aren't you? I know you are. Everybody is everywhere. And it's fitting on a day after the Cubs dropped what would have been a sweep game of the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll talk about that a little bit at the top of the hour. It's Spiegs and Anthony Herron right here on your Score Afternoons. I've discovered that Anthony Herron is an elite karaoke psychologist. Just tremendous. Not a psychiatrist. You can't prescribe, right? You're not empowered with the ability to prescribe, are you?
I haven't taken that course online yet.
Okay. But the psychologist part is intriguing. Yes. I thought you were spot on about Odunze and his teammates. Need to know your thoughts on Caleb Williams' horrific attempt at John Legend.
This ain't no honeymoon.
Hell, man. It's like he did one line and then froze, absolutely fell apart. Teammates blistered him and he just smiled like a goof. That's worse than anything we've seen on the field. But hey, you're the psychologist. Your thoughts, Anthony?
I like the fact that the teammates didn't feel a need to coddle him. It was merciless.
Just destroyed
they started
him.
Throwing stuff at him.
They did throw stuff.
Yes! They threw debris at him. If they had tomatoes, they would have pelted him with those, too. It was great. And
is that a similar comfort level then?
Yes. 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 It's a guy that they're still getting to know, but uh-huh. that they have gotten to know to a certain extent where they recognize that this guy who essentially their futures depend on, like, yeah, Jalen Johnson is set financially for life. Montez Sweat is set financially for life. But for the next few years, whether they end up being winners or losers will mainly depend on whether or not he comes through. But there is this comfort where they don't feel like we got to coddle him in this moment. We don't got to pick him up and make him feel good about it. No, they've gotten to know him well enough where they say, you know what? In this moment, when maybe the outside world isn't sure what our vibe is with Caleb, that just in what's a semi-private setting, yeah, they know the camera's there or whatever, but that when he bombs, they let him know he bombs and do so with vigor. And that, to me, shows a level of comfort with Caleb that is telling about how he's just sort of gotten to know and ingratiated himself with that team.
See, Caleb freezing like that and having the goofy grin and then just falling apart,
yep.
that's his version of Mitch Trubisky just running out of bounds for an extra sack when he could have just thrown the ball away and not lost the 8 yards. You know, Caleb doing that on right. kind of okay is his version of that, right? I'd rather have Caleb's version happening in the Muggs Hallis Auditorium
yeah.
as opposed to Mitch's version on the field.
When they have heads of lettuce and they start throwing him at yeah. him and everything because he did so poorly. And I think both were awful. Caleb was bad. Rome was bad. And to me,
Caleb didn't exist, man.
Yeah.
He just quit right. on the damn thing. I don't want you to quit when it gets hard. I might be more concerned about that than anything so far at his training camp.
Okay,
I will say this though, it's a beautiful song, John Legend's "Ordinary People,"
and I thought
that's aesthetically nice choice.
And what they did with it in the show beyond that, I thought it was great. The montage where you play the real version of the song as he's going through practice, and they, you know, it was the first episode. It was a long time ago.
Yes, it was.
But if you think back to that, just the way they actually did that, you had it melodically as a music bed for a few additional moments. You had a few lyrics come in. You had Caleb learning from this coach, Caleb learning from that coach,
yeah.
Caleb going through some hard times, and we're just on and on. And then it's as it starts to crescendo, he's doing better on the practice field. I thought between the couple of episodes we've seen so far, yeah. that was actually, to me, the best moment that they've actually, you know, from a cinematography perspective, pulled together.
So I got to figure it out. Obviously, I've lost my prime songbird in the guy who just left. What's his name?
What was the name again?
I keep forgetting. It's tough. But anyway, he had the voice of an outsider. And we found a way to use it. We found in the
voice of a fallen angel?
In the parody songs, we have found a way to utilize that man's horrific sensibilities for both timing and melody and performance and his complete and utter shamelessness. Like, we found a way to use that to our advantage.
It shows the level of music producer that you are.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Thank you for noticing. I think, though, with Anthony, we've got something much, much better and more glorious. I need to find a way to showcase that. I don't know, because the vibe that Danny and I had figured out on the Mitch album and the Justin Fields Forever album was that I would be okay, and then Danny would be awful.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked to, like, make people
great
happy.
Balance.
And to, yes, create that balance. Right. With you and I, you know, if I were to use you as a vocal muse, if you were, I'm not sure. I think you might be too good. You know what I mean?
I mean, you've taken the stage with other people who can sing, or do you just surround yourself with bad musicians?
No, just in radio.
Okay. That's fair. That makes sense. I've decided, though, there was a point where I think you guys were either discussing a David Bowie parody song, or did you ever do one? Did you ever do a David Bowie
parody song? I don't know. We didn't. Why? Because what'd you have in mind?
Bodie, rocking everywhere. And since you didn't do it, I was just so disappointed.
Did you suggest it? Was that one of the requests that we didn't?
I don't recall suggesting. I just thought it was a missed opportunity.
He just said, "Well, yeah,
yeah."
Well, he's not very good.
Well, not anymore.
Yeah,
but he had one of those hot starts. He had like a 2 week span.
He did.
Yeah.
He had more than that. He had like a 6 week span when people were saying, you know, remember when Justin Turner figured out how to hit home runs? What if David Bodie does?
Right.
And I was like, oh, yeah, it was intriguing. Thank you, Sadiv. Tell me more. And then it didn't happen.
I would love the week where we actually had a David Bowie song. Just like how at the bottom of the barrel we were for a David Bowie song. Yeah.
That would have been nice. Uh-huh. He'd have kept it going. Yeah. Would have been even better. Probably for him more so than for us.
Yeah, he would have he would have enjoyed from that. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm thinking about, I'm not exactly sure how we would use that. All right, you've been referencing this. I want to get to these. And you tell me if this is a disconnect, okay?
All right.
Should we do it after the break? Do we need to do it after the break? Yeah, probably. All right, this is, we'll hear from the powers that be with the Bears, and you tell me if this is a disconnect. We're dissecting all things Bears, Caleb, and more with Anthony Herron as we talk about the Bears and Caleb and more. And Anthony is excellent. Top of the hour, we do Cubs. Steve Palazzolo, formerly Pro Football Focus and now the 33rd team at 425. Mark Grody with the Bears report at 5 o'clock. All of that coming up on 670 The Score. By the way, let me tell you that Chicago baseball fans, you should come on out to Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo this Thursday from 4 to 5:30 p.m. for an appearance with Ozzie Guillen and 670 The Score. Ozzie will be doing a meet and greet in the sportsbook area and mingling poolside. So be ready to talk baseball with Ozzie. We'll come back with Poles and Flus on The Score.
Yeah, so that was running away from me. So I've seen him do that a few times in practice. Obviously very, very talented running, you know, throwing on the move. And rolling to his left, right, so it was really good. And Rome did a nice job of tracking the ball. It was no doubt it was a catch, and he did a really nice job.
We're back with more of the Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Matt Eberflus talking about Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, and the play that had everybody buzzing. Some Cub stuff at the top of the hour. But right now, Anthony, I want to get your thoughts on what seems like a disconnect in the way that Poles and Flus talked about the playing time. Because as we've been discussing, what, three and outs for Caleb Williams, yep, and the Bears offense. And then there's the drive that has the pass interference penalty when he's going deep for Tyler Scott, a play that Caleb was convinced would have been a touchdown had the DB not grabbed the shoulder of Tyler Scott and dragged him down. And then you add the touchdown drive. And early in the second half, Ryan Poles was on with Adam Amin and Jim Miller live on the broadcast and talked about the first team offense playing as long as they did.
He has the ability to create and make, you know, explosive plays, and those are the impact plays that you need to win a lot of games in this league. So it's encouraging to see. I'll say this too: I'm proud of our coaches for sticking with that first group a little bit further, sure, than what was planned. I think it's important to allow a young quarterback in the offense that's learning a new system to work through some of those things. A little choppy in the beginning, but they worked through it, and we had some positive plays towards the end of that half.
So you hear that at home, and you're like, oh, cool. And you're like, all right, well, good job by the coaches. And one other thing I thought about as I'm listening to that is like, oh, yeah, GM doesn't have that power, huh, to tell the coach during the game. Reminded me of how many times I've seen baseball presidents or GMs crazy pissed off at a manager that they can't control during the game, you know, because, like, you don't have that ability to tell them what to do unless you're, you know, wired down to the dugout like they are in some places. Boston. Anyway, here is Matt Eberflus after the game kind of contradicting that about the playing time.
No, that was the range that we had. So, you know, we don't go into it and say, hey, we're going to play a quarter, you know, or two quarter, you know, whatever, quarter and a half. That doesn't work. So, you know, how you do it is you say, hey, we're going to have a range of series and a range of number of plays. And then, like I said the other day at the presser, that's how you see the ebb and flow of the game. And guys are able to play until we say, okay, hey, that's good, as a group. And again, I ultimately make that decision, but we like to do it that way.
So, Anthony, did that strike you as a discrepancy between coach and GM?
I thought it was a contradiction in the description, but in the end, it's a mild difference in actual execution. You go in with a preference for how many snaps the offense is going to get, how many series they're going to play. I was certainly hopeful going into the game that they were going to get more than a quarter, maybe even a half, just because you have a rookie quarterback and a team with expectations and a new offense, and just getting more reps will be beneficial to them. But you know, the Ryan Poles halftime interview with Adam and Jim, where he's proud that they let him play more – I would imagine if he was going to adjust that, he would essentially be saying more than was preferred. You know, but it, even Adam Amin himself, who he's not in the meeting rooms planning the snaps for anyone, but there was a point after those first three series where Adam even referenced on the air, because there was kind of this collective feeling of, all right, we've gotten through a quarter.
Yeah.
They've gotten through three series. This is probably it. And so Adam even says on the air at one point, like, all right, so yeah, it's probably all we're going to see from Caleb and them, blah, blah, blah. And then, no, they got another series or two. I think even two more series beyond that where they finally got things rolling. And so I was happy that that was the approach. And I don't think that the way Matt Eberflus describes it is untrue, but that range, I would say they topped out that range that they had planned, and it was with a purpose that played out during the game.
Do you think they're going to play on Thursday night?
No, but I hope they do.
Why do you hope they play?
Because he's just going to improve with time on task. Him being in game, him being in those competitive moments, him having to see things, you know, through the lens of his teammates. Caleb will get better every time he steps onto the field. And you saw how slow this team started last season. Now, I always found the rumors about Eberflus getting fired after a month, I found that ridiculous. But that being said, they did start slow as hell. And so if you want to come out of the gates a little bit quicker, preferably a lot quicker this season, to actually make sure, like, this Thursday night to whatever the first regular season game is, has to be, what, a good 3 weeks or something like that?
Yeah, this is the last game, and it's a long time.
I don't think you really need to go that long without them taking a competitive snap in a game. If it's a series, just go through the process of him preparing for this short week to see the field Thursday night, him and Rome and Nate Davis and just everybody else on this offense that could use some more time breaking the huddle together, hearing Caleb calling plays. Even think of a couple of series in those three and outs where there were false start or a little procedural infraction. Caleb was taking that part of it on himself after the game, but we have heard throughout camp about a lot of the issues with cadence, with timing, a lot of that stuff that he'll get out of his system more quickly, the more chances he gets to just execute it in game. If he hands the ball off six times, that'll be better than him doing nothing by Thursday.
Mm. So, yeah, it's interesting because we know the Chiefs aren't going to play their guys. They've already said so.
I don't have to describe the difference between where the Chiefs are as a franchise and where the Bears are as a franchise.
Oh, what's the difference? And no, you know, you don't. No, you don't.
And even Joe Burrow, you had that direct comparison. It was great hearing Joe Burrow talk to the media. Our collective media did a great job asking Joe Burrow about his relationship with Caleb. He hosted him at LSU and all this other stuff.
Right.
Joe Burrow's a made man. He's had his bag. He's got his second contract. He's led a team to the Super Bowl. He's had an MVP caliber season before. You know, Caleb's still learning. Caleb's still growing.
Do you see Raheem Morris not playing Michael Penix Jr. in the second game in Atlanta and said that he didn't want to risk the injury? Seems very strange to me. But that whole place and that everything that's working out there is
are they going to cut Penix, try to sneak him on the practice squad or something like that?
I don't know. I mean, it's just such a weird thing. No, it would be nice to have them go through the process of getting ready for the game, game plan for the game.
So you think he should play?
Yeah, I kind of think he should play.
Okay.
I think you're right. I think you're right. In terms of how far away we are from actual game day. And
it's a long time. It's a long time to just do. I mean, they'll be doing stuff.
Yeah.
It's a long time to not be competitive, to not be at that fever pitch that you're going to have to be at by the opening game of the season.
And you used the opportunity to do some stuff, to try a few different things, a few different ways that the pocket moved,
mm-hmm.
you know, in game two as opposed to game one.
I've been pleased with Shane Waldron so far.
I want to talk about that
with
you.
We'll have a chance to do
that. If we don't get to do it a little bit later today, we'll do it tomorrow. But yeah, I feel like I'd like to dissect what we've seen so far because they ran out of the eye a couple of times. Like, I'm seeing a lot of variety, a lot of different things that we could do. This seems to be a very competent and varied offensive coordinator, doesn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
He's not somebody. I mean, you were instrumental in helping me to realize that Matt Nagy was a one-trick pony and ought to be getting some of the blame for everything that was happening with both Mitch and then with Fields too. Of like, wow, that guy had no adjustment. He had no secondary move there, and then he was just so damn stubborn that's all he just kept doing.
And the most unfortunate part with Nagy was that they would go in with one game plan, and he would get into the game and freeze up and just do stuff they weren't even prepared for, man. I mean, it was just It was mind-boggling, some of the stuff that he was doing as the play caller. Head coach slash play caller for the Bears.
Steve Palazzolo is going to join us later on in the next hour. But when we come back, this season has felt like one big taunting penalty by the Cubs. Just cruel. Just absolutely cruel. Let's discuss that next and see if you're feeling any hope on the backside of it. Next, it's Spiegs and Ann Heron on the Score.
Yeah, so that was running away from me. So I've seen him do that a few times in practice. Obviously very, very talented running, you know, throwing on the move and rolling to his left, right? So it was really good. And Rome did a nice job of tracking the ball. It was no doubt it was a catch and did a really nice job.
We're back with more of the Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Matt Eberflus talking about Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, and the play that had everybody buzzing. Some Cub stuff at the top of the hour. But right now, Anthony, want to get your thoughts on what seems like a disconnect in the way that Poles and Flus talked about the playing time. Because as we've been discussing, what, three and outs for Caleb Williams and the Bears offense, and then there's the drive that has the pass interference penalty when he's going deep for Tyler Scott, a play that Caleb was convinced would have been a touchdown had the DB not grabbed the shoulder of Tyler Scott and dragged him down. And then you add the touchdown drive. And early in the second half, Ryan Poles was on with Adam Amin and Jim Miller live on the broadcast and talked about the first team offense playing as long as they did.
He has the ability to create and make, you know, explosive plays, and those are the impact plays that you need to win a lot of games in this league. So it's encouraging to see. I'll say this too: I'm proud of our coaches for sticking with that first group a little bit further than what was planned. I think it's important to allow a young quarterback in the offense that's learning a new system to work through some of those things. A little choppy in the beginning, but they worked through it, and we had some positive plays towards the end of that half.
So you hear that at home and you're like, oh, cool. And you're like, all right, well, good job by the coaches. And one other thing I thought about as I'm listening to that is like, oh, yeah, GM doesn't have that power, huh? To tell the coach during the game. Reminded me of how many times I've seen baseball presidents or GMs crazy pissed off at a manager that they can't control during the game, you know? Because, like, you don't have that ability to tell them what to do unless you're, you know, wired down to the dugout like they are in some places. Boston. Anyway, here is Matt Eberflus after the game kind of contradicting that about the playing time.
No, that was the range that we had. So, you know, we don't go into it and say, hey, we're going to play a quarter, you know, or two quarter, you know, whatever, quarter and a half. That doesn't work. So, you know, how you do it is you say, hey, we're going to have a range of series and a range of number of plays. And then, like I said the other day at the presser, that's how you see the ebb and flow of the game. And guys are able to play until we say, okay, hey, that's good as a group. And again, I ultimately make that decision, but we like to do it that way.
So, Anthony, did that strike you as a discrepancy between coach and GM?
I thought it was a contradiction in the description, but in the end, it's a mild difference in actual execution. You go in with a preference for how many snaps the offense is going to get, how many series they're going to play. I was certainly hopeful going into the game that they were going to get more than a quarter, maybe even a half, just because you have a rookie quarterback and a team with expectations and a new offense, and just getting more reps will be beneficial to them. But you know, the Ryan Poles halftime interview with Adam and Jim, where he's proud that they let him play more. I would imagine if he was going to adjust that, he would essentially be saying more than was preferred, you know. But it, even Adam Amin himself, who he's not in the meeting rooms planning the snaps for anyone, but there was a point after those first three series where Adam even referenced on the air, because there was kind of this collective feeling of, all right, we've gotten through a quarter.
Yeah.
They've gotten through three series. This is probably it. And so Adam even says on the air at one point, like, all right, so yeah, that's probably all we're going to see from Caleb and them, blah, blah, blah. And then, no, they got another series or two. I think even two more series beyond that where they finally got things rolling. And so I was happy that that was the approach. And I don't think that the way Matt Eberflus describes it is untrue. Mm. But that range, I would say they topped out that range that they had planned, and it was with a purpose that played out during the game.
Do you think they're going to play on Thursday night?
No, but I hope they do.
Why do you hope they play?
Because he's just going to improve with time on task. Him being in game, him being in those competitive moments, him having to see things, you know, through the lens of his teammates. Caleb will get better every time he steps onto the field. And you saw how slow this team started last season. Now, I always found the rumors about Eberflus getting fired after a month, I found that ridiculous. But that being said, they did start slow as hell. And so if you want to come out of the gates a little bit quicker, preferably a lot quicker this season, to actually make sure, like, this Thursday night to whatever the first regular season game is, has to be, what, a good 3 weeks or something like that?
Yeah, this is the last game, and it's a long time.
I don't think you really need to go that long without them taking a competitive snap in a game. If it's a series, just go through the process of him preparing for this short week to see the field Thursday night, him and Rome and Nate Davis and just everybody else on this offense that could use some more time breaking the huddle together, hearing Caleb calling plays. Even think of a couple of series in those three and outs where there were false start or a little procedural infraction. Caleb was taking that part of it on himself after the game, but we have heard throughout camp about a lot of the issues with cadence, with timing, a lot of that stuff that he'll get out of his system more quickly, the more chances he gets to just execute it in game. If he hands the ball off six times, that'll be better than him doing nothing by Thursday.
Mm. So, yeah, it's interesting because we know the Chiefs aren't going to play their guys. They've already said so.
I don't have to describe the difference between where the Chiefs are as a franchise and where the Bears are as a franchise.
Oh, what's the difference? And no, you don't. No, you don't.
And even Joe Burrow, you had that direct comparison. It was great hearing Joe Burrow talk to the media. Our collective media did a great job asking Joe Burrow about his relationship with Caleb. He hosted him at LSU and all this other stuff.
Right.
Joe Burrow's a made man. He's had his bag. He's got his second contract. He's led a team to the Super Bowl. He's had an MVP caliber season before. You know, Caleb's still learning. Caleb's still growing.
Did you see Raheem Morris not playing Michael Penix Jr. in the second game in Atlanta and said that he didn't want to risk the injury? Seems very strange to me. But that whole place and that everything that's working out there is...
Are they going to cut Penix, try to sneak him on the practice squad or something like that?
I don't know. I mean, it's just such a weird thing. No, it would be nice to have them go through the process of getting ready for the game plan for the game.
So you think he should play?
Yeah, I kind of think he should play.
Okay.
I think you're right. I think you're right. In terms of how far away we are from actual game day. And
it's a long time. It's a long time to just do. I mean, they'll be doing stuff. Yeah. It's a long time to not be competitive, to not be at that fever pitch that you're going to have to be at by the opening game of the season.
And you used the opportunity to do some stuff, to try a few different things, a few different ways that the pocket moved, you know, in game two as opposed to game one.
I've been pleased with Shane Waldron so far.
I want to talk about that with you.
We'll have a chance to do
that. If we don't get to do it a little bit later today, we'll do it tomorrow. But yeah, I feel like I'd like to dissect what we've seen so far because they ran out of the eye a couple of times. Like I'm seeing a lot of variety, a lot of different things that we could do. This seems to be a very competent and varied offensive coordinator, doesn't it?
Yeah, very much so.
He's not somebody. I mean, you were instrumental in helping me to realize that Matt Nagy was a one-trick pony and ought to be getting some of the blame for everything that was happening with both Mitch and then with Fields too. Of like, wow, that guy had no adjustment. He had no secondary move there, and then he was just so damn stubborn that that's all he just kept doing.
And the most unfortunate part with Nagy was that they would go in with one game plan, and he would get into the game and freeze up and just do stuff they weren't even prepared for, man. I mean, it was mind-boggling, some of the stuff that he was doing as the play caller. Head coach/play caller for the Bears.
Steve Palazzolo is going to join us later on in the next hour. But when we come back, this season has felt like one big taunting penalty by the Cubs. Just cruel. Just absolutely cruel. Let's discuss that next and see if you're feeling any hope on the backside of it. Next, it's Spiegs and Ann Heron on the Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Porch rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.